Hi, welcome to Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. On this first of two programs, trumpeter Doc Cheatham tells his fascinating story of a life in jazz, a career lasting some 70 years, during which he worked with or knew some of the greatest names in jazz. Billie Holiday, Cab Calloway, Louis Armstrong, and Benny Goodman, to name just a few. This is the sound of trumpeter Doc Cheatham in his early 90s from a really nice CD he made with pianist Butch Thompson. Doc Cheatham was born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee, and got to Chicago just in time for the roaring 20s jazz boom. After subbing for Louis Armstrong, he went on to stints in the bands of Chick Webb, Teddy Wilson, Benny Carter, and 8 years leading the brass section in Cab Calloway's orchestra. In the 1940s, as a member of the Eddie Haywood Band, Doc accompanied Billie Holiday in her years at Cafe Society in New York City, and he went on for another half decade playing Latin, swing, and Dixieland jazz. As a much-beloved elder statesman of jazz, Cheatham continued tirelessly into his early 90s, working with younger generations of musicians, telling his story, recalling the early days of jazz, performing and recording and writing his memoirs. If Dreams Come True from a really nice duet album he made with Butch Thompson in 1994, a particularly nice disc showcasing Doc, and there'll be plenty more of that this hour, plus Doc with Benny Goodman, Sammy Price, and Cab Calloway, as Doc Cheatham recalls his life in jazz. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me for Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, Old and New. Incidentally, I originally assembled this program after I had a chance to interview Doc in the early 90s when he was in his late 80s, and Doc died in 1997. But in 1993, I was lucky to catch Doc in a reflective mood at home in his New York City apartment. He patiently answered all my questions and offered a few fresh insights on some of the greatest names of jazz. As our discussion began, he was looking forward to joining a tribute to Fats Waller. The conversation quickly moved on to Jelly Roll Morton, Louis Armstrong, and Ma Rainey.
Welcome, Doc.
Thank you.
I understand you're going to be out here very soon.
Yes, that's right.
As part of the 11th Annual San Francisco Jazz Festival.
Yes.
And it's a tribute to Fats Waller.
Yes.
Did you ever get a chance to hear Waller personally?
Well, sir, I've known him for years. I've known Fats Waller, I've known the whole family.
Did you once hear or meet Jelly Roll Morton?
I met Jelly Roll Morton in Chicago in 1926. And I met him in New York in the 30s. And I made a recording with Jerry Rosenborn. We were friends.
What record was that?
My name wasn't listed in any of the discographies. They had quite a few things, say the trumpet player unknown. It was never, because the recording people didn't know anything about me that time. Recording was kind of new to me.
There's a lot been written about Morton, but I have not had a chance to talk to anybody else who has ever heard or met him. Tell me about what your impression, first-hand impression of him was.
Well, I respected him like I respected everybody else. A lot of musicians, they knew how great he was, but they didn't. They always seemed to put him down all the time just to make him angry. A lot of musicians liked to make him angry. He knew that. And he had proved how great he was by the compositions he wrote. And I was about his only friend, I think he had, because I never bothered him like that. I never harassed him like that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of musicians harassed him just to get him riled up, you know. But he was a wonderful fellow. He was a braggadocious type of fellow. And he was a pimp on the side. He pimped and he loved to play mostly in whorehouses rather than anyone else. Any other place, that's for a long time. Till he had the whorehouse just diminished, you know, and went away. Mm-hmm. And he had to go out on his own, and he did pretty well. He was one of the greatest composers, I think, in jazz.
I know that one of your great inspirations is Satchmo, Louis Armstrong.
Oh, yes, that was my first influence when I met in Chicago. He was the first trumpet player that I heard. I never heard anyone before I reached Chicago.
You were already playing trumpet at the time when you heard Louis?
I was playing cornet and saxophone. I was stranded in Chicago, and everybody went in different directions. And I walked a lot. I walked past a pickle factory. And they needed someone in there, and I went in and worked in the pickle factory a few days, because just to earn a little money. And I stayed there a while before I knew Louis Armstrong, before I ever heard of it. And I went out on the west side, or south side rather, and for the first time, and listened to all the musicians, especially trumpet players. Most of all those musicians. And Chicago at that time were brought to Chicago by Al Capone. And he opened a lot of places there and put these New Orleans musicians in there. And Louis Armstrong was one of his favorite musicians. Louis had as much authority as given to him by Al Capone. You see, so you couldn't, other than Chicago musicians, no out-of-town musician could work in Chicago without Al Capone agreeing with that, so to speak.
What band was that Louis was working at the time? Was that with Miss Lil, or was...
No, Lil Armstrong, when I was there, came from Fletcher Henderson's band to Chicago because his wife brought him there and because he had a better job, making more money, and she put him in the Vendome Theater there in Chicago where he played for standing room only for weeks and weeks and weeks. I met him through his wife, and she gave me a union card and everything because I'm from Nashville too, and so she did all she can for me. And she brought Louis up to Dreamland Cafe, and Louis got me a job in there. And he came in to me and had me to work for him at the theater, for he'd take off a couple of days, and I would go and play for him. He had me doing all those things. And that's what started me to liking him as a person. And, of course, no one can play like him. And I idolized him, and I just sort of said, I'm going to listen to him, paid more attention to him than anyone else. So he was a great help to me. And we were great friends for all through his life.
What was that like substituting for him?
It was hard, but I managed to do it because I was hungry. I knew the song that it was his featured tune in the theater. I knew that song because I had gone to see him every night at the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the tune that he was featured at the theater. So I learned the tune, and he came to me. I don't know why he did that. And because there were so many other New Orleans trumpet players in Chicago at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But he just seemed to like me, and he gave me those jobs for him. And they paid me very well, in which I needed the money. And we became friends. I played with him in New York, too, at the theater with Lou Russell's band. When he was just, I think, that was his very last big band engagement. Then he formed a small group soon after.
Thank you.
Someday You'll Be Sorry, a tune sometimes associated with Louis Armstrong, Doc Cheatham's primary inspiration as a trumpeter. And that was from a series of recordings he made in the late 70s with pianist Sammy Price. Cheatham was over age 70 when he made that album, and it's quite unusual for trumpeters to play that strong at such an advanced age, but Doc trained himself well, first to move from being a brass section man to a small band soloist, and then also as an improviser of considerable flexibility and range. His playing, like his personality, is modest, sincere, wise, and gentle. Still ahead this hour, we'll hear Cheatham with Benny Goodman, Cab Calloway, Ma Rainey, and in Europe recording with Sam Wooding in 1929. And next, here's an all-star Swedish jazz ensemble, I'm guessing the mid-1980s. The album was a tribute to Billie Holiday, whom he accompanied for a while in the 40s. On Sunny Side of the Street, Cheatham is clearly paying tribute again to Satchmo in his opening choruses, borrowing strongly from Louis' sense of timing and melodic variation. Then on Rosetta, again from this fine 1994 album with Butch Thompson, you'll hear the kind of casual vocalizing he took up in later years, in which he speaks as much as sings the lyric. Thank you.
in my heart, dear, there's no one but you. Now you told me that you love me, so never leave me for somebody who. You made my whole life just a dream, and I pray you'll make it come true. So Rosetta, my Rosetta, please say I'm just the one for you. Thank you.
This Hot Water is obviously a riff on Old Man River. It's Doc during his years leading the brass section in Cab Calloway's orchestra between 1932 and 1940. And we've been hearing Doc from the mid-1970s to the mid-1990s with pianist Sammy Price on that lovely Memphis blues and with Butch Thompson for Rosetta. The set began with On the Sunny Side of the Street, Cheatham featured with the Swedish All-Stars from the mid-1980s. I always welcome your correspondence, comments, requests for a program playlist, or search for deeper understanding of early jazz at the newly enhanced Jazz Rhythm website, jazzhotbigstep.com. Still ahead, Doc with Benny Goodman, New Orleans trumpeter Nicholas Payton, and in the band of Sam Wooding, recording in Barcelona, Spain in 1929. I tell you, I just feel so lucky that I got a chance to chat with Doc at length back in 1993. As you can hear, he was a gentle soul with a courtly but humble demeanor. Doc just loved to play, and he did it right up until just a couple of nights before his death in 1997, just short of age 92. Please stay with me for more memories from Doc Cheatham's Life in Jazz.